How's your fight this morning? The message this morning is entitled Journey to Home. It's based on my journey over the years. It's been somewhat of a long one, and at times the road has been very rough. But I'm very thankful for the people who have kept praying for me over the years and have not given up, especially my wife, who I think sometimes prayed without ceasing that either I would be converted or taken out. Because I'm not stubborn, I just want my own way. Proverbs 16:25, as Ron got to after a while, says, there is a way that seems right to a man. The key word there is seems. Seems right to a man, but its end is the ways to death. We only have two directions in life that we can go. One leads to life, the other leads to death. It's that simple. But the good part about it is we get to choose the road that we take. The Bible is very clear. Everything is presented before us. There is no excuses in the end. Truth is before us all. We just need to follow it. And one thing is very simple, as we see Jesus explain by the Sea of Galilee after his resurrection. We do not need to worry about the other person. Peter was all concerned about John. What was going to happen to John? What did Jesus say? You don't have to worry about that. You follow me. So that's what we all need to do. Now, we can worry about people's salvation. Don't get me wrong. That's a different matter. Anyway, I'm going to tell you my story this morning. I was born in 1965, May the 9th. That was Mother's Day. I was born on Mother's Day. Mother, I haven't got a gift like it since. There was a couple more boys. Their one was born on Mother's Day also. Another fellow I went to school with was born on the 8th, the day before. So after a few days, Mom took me home. After a while, as the process goes on, I was weaned. 2 years old, I came down with rheumatic fever. Very sick for a while. Spent a lot of time in the hospital off and on. I took a lot of penicillin. Now, I don't know if that's why I'm like I am or not, but I took a lot of penicillin. You see, if you have a kid, well, especially in my case, that's sick as a child, the parents can very easily spare the rod and spoil the child. That happened to me, and I guess with my personality, I took advantage of it. I was evil. 3 years old, I always wanted to be outdoors. And Mother was the type of person who was very nervous. If I went out of sight, well, I was all over. I was gone. So they put a little fence around the bridge, just a little place, but air to the chairs there, and that's as far as I could go. I wasn't happy with that. So when I got the chance this day, I crawled in the cupboard, and I ate away among the pots and pans. Now, our grandmother lived with us as well, my dad's mom, and they were all searching for me, couldn't find me. Mom was crying. Grandmother was upset. My dad was going about looking everywhere, outdoors. Mother was, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone. And there was I in the cupboard, sitting on the pots and pans, trying not to laugh hard enough where I would rattle the pots and pans and they hear me. So you know at that point you got issues. So anyway, when I got out and Mom found me, she said the words that no child wants to hear. Blessed Lord, did give me the wrong boy. Anyway, it got worse because, as Sandra told me, to make sure to follow the outline. So, you know. At 5, Mom dressed me up early September and sent me off to prison. School, actually, but to me it was prison. I never ate anything so much in my life, and I haven't eaten anything since at school. It was not for me. If it had been today, they would have put some letters before my name and give me some pills to keep me sedated. And I guess it would have been AI, absolute idiot, I don't know. But I had no time for school because I just had to sit in the seat and listen and do homework. And all I wanted to do was to be outdoors. And I got in some trouble. The early grades, I usually drove all the girls mostly nuts because I had no time for girls. I don't know why they were made at that age. I was only a kid, what did I know? I met one girl to a wedding that Bodos was related to years after, and she had some kids, and her young boy asked her one day, did she have any trouble in school? Did anybody torment her? She said, well, there was this one fellow. So anyway, she let me know that after many years. Grade 6. Now, hockey was my passion. I found out that I loved hockey. That was my big thing. I suppose that was, well, I got to say, besides Sandra, that was my greatest passion in life, was hockey. And then the school, we had this gym teacher. He was a French guy. And all he wanted to do was play volleyball and basketball. Volleyball, I could cope with. Basketball, it was no. Several days, he had lectures with me that I should play, and I had to play, or more or less. And I said, no, I'm not playing. So this day, I think he got a bit fed up. When I said no, he sat me in the garbage can. That never went over well because I gave him one lift and I got lucky because I got him right in the wind. And when he bent over, I ran with my buddy. We left the school and we ran. We got almost up through Lumsden when we looked, the principal was coming. So we had nothing on our sniggers, so we took to the bog and we ran. He didn't get us. So when he went back, we left and came back to the road and I continued to walk home. When we got almost to the Cape Branch, we saw the bus coming. Ah, we got it made because it was hot and we didn't want to walk. The bus just sailed on. So, you know, when the bus arrived and no Joe, Mother was in a panic again. And then she found out what had happened. It was called in the school. I don't know what use is running, then there are two youngsters on the road and wouldn't pick them up. So I didn't have much of a chance. Grade 9. I'm only picking out a scatter thing because Ron's has only got so much time. Grade 9. History class. Great history teacher. Great guy. But I did not care about the Beatics. It didn't bother me that the Beatics made canoes of the birch bark. That didn't bother me. But I want to see, after our test, if you got over 80, he gave us a free gym class. Now, I wanted the gym class, but I didn't want to study. So test time comes, he passes around the test, goes up and sits down. He takes me test, takes me history book out, opens it and puts it in there and starts writing in the answers. I was going to have a gym class. I was so into it that I didn't realize the teacher had walked in around and came up behind me, looking over my shoulder. He reached up and closed my book, went on up and sat down. Ah, I said, he's not going to say nothing. So I opened my book again, finished my tests. Sure, the gym class, floor hockey, next period. Next time we got our test back. Got my test back, 0. I continued on this way for many years. Early teens, I think, was I got involved with a friend. This guy and I became very good friends. He was a nice bit older than what I was. He was 7 years older than me, so if I was 12, he was 19. We became really good friends. We did everything together. As I grew older, we did more stuff. We hunted, we fished, we played hockey. We ate together nighttime. We would always go for chicken and chips. We call it a dinner box. Always go to the restaurant and have some chicken and chips. Sometimes we'd eat it, and sometimes we'd laugh that hard we couldn't eat it. The next day, we'd be tender. We really got along well. We had a lot of the same thoughts. It's not too often that happens in life, but this was a really special friend. They don't come along often. We shared everything, private things. We just clicked. Then I started to have interest in girls. As I get older in my teen years, started to have a little bit of interest in girls. And then I thought there was something wrong with me. Because this was a big change. I was always active on the go. Never wanted to stop birding. We used to use slingshots for kill beachy birds and everything. Never stopped. This day I was doing a lot of activity, I guess, and I kind of smelled something. I smelled bad. I thought I was starting to rot. You know, I didn't know what was going on. Didn't know what was happening to me. So anyway, I figured that out. And there was two girls in the Cape that I really liked. I liked two girls. Now comes the time for courting. What was I going to do? So that summer, every time I see them, I would pick up rocks and throw at them, chase them, say attack. Drive them home every time I see them. And they was frightened of it. They'd run home and stay in. And every time I see them, I'd do it again, throw rocks at them and chase them. So I'm going to ask you a little question now. If you agree with my method of courtship, I want to raise your hand. If you don't agree with my method of courtship, I want to raise your hand. Yeah, I guess. Anyway, trying not to get emotional here now. One of those ladies is here today. She's been my wife for over 35 years. So I'm glad you didn't agree with my method of courtship. You see, no one ever explained to me about the birds and the bees. I never got that taught first or last. To me, the birds were delicious in the roaster. And the bees, you just leave them alone. They're doing their own business. That's all I knew. At the age of 18, I was married with a son. Mom had to sign consent for me to get married. I was that young. 23, I had two sons. Still didn't have a clue what was going on. So you know I was taken advantage of, right? Life went on. I guess I was happy. At least I thought I was. 1994. I had been married then for several years. I was 27, so I guess that's 8 years. I'm a fisherman. I was lobster catching in the morning. It was late in the lobster season. It was June 30th. I was landing lobster traps. The season was almost over. Early in the morning, it was a hot summer. This was going to be another hot day. I was out early landing traps. I came in with a load of traps tied up by the wharf, and my father-in-law came along. And I could tell there was something wrong. He had something on his mind. He told me that my friend, his name was Hayward, was in on the road. There was something wrong. So I pulled off my rubber clothes and got aboard with him, and we went in the road. And my father-in-law got no nerve for anything that concerns sickness. So he stopped 500 yards back from my friend. So I got out, and I ran up the road. and he was laying on the road. And I looked at him and I knew. He was gone. 34 years old. I knelt down. I pulled him in my arms. I just felt his neck. I didn't check for anything because I knew you could tell. He'd been there for a while. He was cold. I was, to say stunned would be mild. The next 6 years of my life was a blur. I had no answers. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know the Lord. That same July, I guess I was vulnerable at that time, so I went to camp meeting with my wife. Now, I had no time for church stuff before this. You know, I was doing my own thing. I taught that the world was made for me to use as I saw fit. That was my thinking. Our Bible verse, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Well, that's what seemed right to me at the time. So I went to camp meeting. I believe there was a God, but I didn't know anything about him. But the funny thing about it, as reckless as I was, and as evil as I was all growing up, I never did take the Lord's name in vain. And when I hear people saying it, because I knew people who could make cursing sound like poetry, something didn't, it bothered me. So anyway, I went to camp meeting, and someone suggested that I should get baptized. Oh, yes, fine. I'll get baptized. And I did. And I did. So I went home. Now, couldn't do nothing on Saturday. I was 27 years old. And up to this point, that was my big day, Saturday. Bird sees note on Saturday. So that September, Sandra and I, she asked me, because I don't like walking, she asked for go for a walk on Sabbath morning. So I said, yeah. We went for a walk, and this was the very day that the duck season opened. Walking up the road every now and then, bang. Every time I hear a gunshot, I have this pain in the back of my head. That didn't last long. That fall, that was over. The Sabbath keeping and all this stuff. So life continued on as normal for 6 years. In the year 2000, we were off air. I had to go home because we were fishing and we were going out in boat 12 o'clock that night at the turbot. So I left after lunch to drive home. Sandra stayed because she was getting massage therapy, I remembered. On the way home, by myself in the car, I still had a lot of questions. I hadn't forgot about my friend. I never will. So, I had not read in Scripture where it says, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. I hadn't read much of anything in Scripture. So I was driving along, things going through your mind as they do, and I suppose you could say I was having a conversation with the Lord because I had questions and I was thinking one thing. And I said, okay, Lord, if you're real, why can't I lose control of this car and not be hurt? Stupid thing to do. I don't know if the words were off my lips before I lost control of the car. I know you can't visualize it unless you are there, but I was on a four-lane highway, probably driving somewhere around 90 or 100 kilometers, and one at Affen, It was like I was aboard a jet. The car would go for the woods this way. You swear the speed doubled. And before it get it over the shoulder of the road, it turned and go right the opposite way. And back and forth, did this for 4 or 5 times. And then I started spinning circles. Spinning around 4 or 5 times. Then I started to slide down the road sideways. Rubber on pavement. I said, uh-oh, I'm gone this time. The car went on down the road and stopped by the shoulder just before it went over. I stopped. I went to open the door. Before I had a chance to get out, I heard very plain the words, "Are you satisfied?" There was a car coming another way over the hill. 3 ladies aboard, they saw everything. They stopped and see if I was all right. I said, oh, yes, I'm fine. Just need a minute there. So as I gathered myself together, I continued on home. Went fishing that night as if everything was normal. But that, are you satisfied? Still stuck with me. Stuck with me for a long time. So I want to ask you this morning, are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with the road you're on? Is the road you're on leading to life? Are you satisfied with the church you're in? Or do you feel alone or left out? Are you satisfied with the way things are between you and God? Or does God feel far away? Is he first and foremost in your life? Are you trusting him with everything that concerns you? Or are you trusting to self, just like I did for so many years? Is God real this morning? Do you really know him or just know of him? There was a time when I didn't know him. I always thought to myself, this church stuff isn't for me. There were so many things that took my attention. This was still after this incident with the car. I was being pulled in every direction. Voices around me were loud and strong, and it was difficult to hear the voice of God. But he was there, and he was speaking to me. As soon as things get quiet around me, I could hear him. We all need to turn off our cell phones and listen for the voice of God once in a while. When we do this with a heart to obey him, every thing becomes clear to us, and we just need to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And again, it's not complicated. It takes faith to trust and be all that God is calling us to be. I heard the words so clear. Are you satisfied? I think this was the only way that God could get my attention. I was so wrapped up in work, hunting, and sports. I needed a shaking up. Well, after that experience, you know what happened. I followed the Lord, right? Not so fast. Twelve years later, I was still doing my own thing. But I'm not stubborn. I just want my own way. Because there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but its end is the way to death. Now, during those 12 years, God was still working on my heart. I saw many things, There was a period of time that there was probably 10, some nights more, children that came to our house. Sam read Bible study with them. They read the Bible. At one point, one of my youngest son was involved with that. And they anointed my wife, and I saw her healed of a problem she had with her neck for years. That's the reason we were here at that time that I drove home. I knew something was going on, but what it was, I didn't know. Then slowly I began to read my Bible and attend church more often. As I read, God was still working on my heart and letting me know more about Him. Because again, it's all up to us. We have to choose the road that we go on. About a couple of years reading, Camp Meeting 2012. I was reading this book. I think it was written by Dwight K. Nelson. It was on Gethsemane. It was two pages on Jesus in Gethsemane. I was trying to read that for the whole week, and I could not see the words for water. Tears flowing, couldn't for a full week. It was at that point that I saw God. And I guess more importantly, I saw myself. That wasn't a good picture. And I knew that I had to go to the water and be baptized. But this time, for the right reasons. This time, Sandra joined me. We were baptized together. Now, we plan on dying together, but we haven't worked the details of that out yet. And hopefully we'll come up together. So there's some manipulating to do there yet. What I want to let you know this morning is the journey is sometimes rough. It's not always smooth. And if you haven't figured it out so far, I'm going to tell you now, I'm not perfect. Not before or after. But our journey is almost over. Christ is nearer now than when we first believed. That's obvious. But if you look around at circumstances, events of the world, and the Bible, we understand that the earth's history is coming to a close. The Lord is soon to come. We must be ready and waiting. It may feel long, but now is not the time to give up. The promises are sure. Everything is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. We are almost home. And in final words, I encourage you, don't abandon ship yet. I promise you, this ship will take us home. Amen. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this time that we have shared. Lord, just pray that through your message, somebody was touched and you were lifted up, is all we can ask. And Lord, we thank you for your precious blood that you spilled on Calvary, that we may have eternal life through you. Lord, we continue to ask for your Spirit to guide us, to continue to be after us, Lord, to nudge us when we slide, to keep us on the right path. But Lord, we know we have to be willing. Lord, we love you this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.